Let us stand to sing as we prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord. Standing to sing, Trinity Psalter Hymnal, number 78, stanzas 24 through 27. Number 78, stanzas 24 through 27. We come to the part of worship where God speaks to us through His Word. This morning we'll be taking a look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter is near the end of the Bible. Hear now the word of the Lord. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peter's first letter to the churches in present-day Turkey was written during a time when Christians faced persecution. Realizing that he must encourage Christians in the midst of this, Peter gives an exhortation to the elders who shepherd God's flock, a flock who had many of the same tendencies that Christians today have when they are facing suffering. It all started with one self-destructive leap. Carefree shepherds outside a town in Turkey paused their leadership responsibilities to eat breakfast, when to their surprise, a few sheep wandered off a nearby cliff about 50 feet, falling to their death. The shepherds were stunned, however, when the rest of the 1,500 sheep followed, each wandering off the same cliff. When it was all over, the local newspapers reported that 450 sheep died, while the rest injured to varying degrees. The estimated loss was $100,000. And this was a significant amount in a country where the annual income was $2,700. These sheep were left unprotected and died. Since we are compared to sheep in Scripture, this account reminds us that we need protection. When unprotected, we are prone to wander. Prone to wander away to death and danger. And we are wired to follow. We look to those who seem able to lead us. But even those leaders who we want to follow need someone to lead as well. These leaders may find something to latch on to, be it a culture, an ideology, or a worldview. For our protection, God places shepherd leaders in our lives so we can be cared for and led away from sin and danger and to Christ, the ultimate great shepherd. And this is especially necessary when persecution arises. Persecution causes us to ask why. Why are we being persecuted? The pain from persecution seems unbearable. The thought of future persecution frightens us. And most of us want to wander away from persecution. And when I say persecution, we do live in a nation where we can worship openly in public as we are doing now. But all persecution is evil, and that evil stems from sin and the devil. So we will also be thinking about persecution not only as external forces, but internal forces as well, like our sinful nature. But if we are a Christian and we wander away from persecution or something else, we automatically are led away from Christ. But we can overcome our desire to wander away from persecutions outside and inside of us by learning from Peter's exhortation from this passage in 1 Peter 5. Shepherd God's flock. Instead of wandering, Peter comforts and motivates us to endure persecution under the great shepherd Jesus Christ by telling us that because persecuted Christians are prone to wander, He gives us shepherd leaders. He gives us shepherd leaders specifically to care and protect us. Since He gives us that, that's what we should look for and desire. See, the first four chapters of 1 Peter lays out how Christ's sufferings is the pattern for our lives, our Christian living. Christians, we should not be surprised when suffering comes our way. 1 Peter tells us that Christian suffering is normal, but it's not easy to endure, which is why the elders are exhorted in 1 Peter chapter 5. One commentator summarizes this passage this way. Peter, quote, instructs his readers about the type of shepherd leadership that is needed to assure the survival of the church in trying times of persecution, end quote. These shepherd leaders that we will see proclaim Christ, act like Christ, and are under Christ. Those will be our 3 points for this morning. Shepherd leaders proclaim Christ, act like Christ, and are under Christ. First, we should look for protective shepherd leaders who proclaim Christ. And we ask, how do they proclaim Christ? Well, first, by their maturity. Look with me at the first part of verse 1. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. The term elder goes back to the time of Moses, And elder can be translated as older man. But what is in view here is not age, but experience. These elders are grown up in their faith. Peter has grown up. He was no longer that immature follower of Christ all those years ago. Elders have had time to have their pride and self-sufficiency knocked out from under them while discovering that God has and will always be good to them in the midst of persecution. In other words, an elder was not a new convert, but a tried and tested believer. A mature elder has faced persecution and suffering before and is likely not going to cave when the pressure of persecution comes again in the future. And a shepherd leader also must proclaim Christ by their words. Verse 1 continues, and a witness of Christ's sufferings. In the Greek, Peter is referring to the elders as fellow witnesses of the suffering of Christ. He doesn't mean that they are eyewitnesses to the sufferings of Christ, but are testifiers to Christ's sufferings, which are grounded and is involved that eyewitness testimony that Peter saw all those years ago. And sure, we can witness by our deeds, but if we don't use words, how will people know Jesus Christ? And the words we use are important. See, the words that are given from this pulpit, at a family visit, or during times of trouble should not be the opinions of Oprah or Fox News or some moralistic therapeutic deism. Elders are to proclaim Christ by their words based on, derived from, and tethered to Scripture, especially under the threat of persecution. And notice, a witness of what exactly? The sufferings of Christ. Christ's suffering, not a witness to the glories of Christ. So this means that shepherd leaders must proclaim Christ by their hope. See, the end of verse 1 reads, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Under suffering, those who died for their faith were looking to the glory that they were a partaker in and of in 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, a partaker of glory is the automatic flip side of suffering. Suffering unto glory. The path to glory is suffering. In chapter 4, Peter tells us not to be surprised when fiery trials are taking place among us, which is in a way to say suffering by persecution. See, when fiery trials arise, elders are to rejoice that they are suffering on behalf of Christ. Why? Because when Christ is revealed, glory too will be revealed. When elders are insulted for the name of Christ by their boss or their co-workers or neighbors, this shows that they are blessed because the Spirit of God rests upon them. And when that happens, the rest of the congregation can have hope because they see elders proclaiming the witness of the sufferings of Christ. Christians can take the insults from our stance on abortion, non-binariness, adult entertainment, using God's name in vain, or whatever else is anti-Christian in this American culture. That is why hope cannot be excluded from the identity of an elder. It encourages Christians to have hope when others persecute them. Elders should not mope around like Eeyore, going, "Woe is me," but they should be reminded of and should proclaim to the flock the possibility of hope. But they're just men. See, at age 86, Polycarp, he was a second century elder from Smyrna and a disciple of the Apostle John. He was brought to the Roman authorities and ordered to confess that Caesar is Lord. If he refused, he would be persecuted with wild animals and fire if he refused. Polycarp did refuse and was murdered, but according to church history, he was able to proclaim himself a Christian evangelism spot where he told the authorities to fix a day, and if they would listen, he would tell them about the doctrine of Christianity. And this testimony gives us hope to remain faithful, that Christ's Spirit will never allow us to ultimately renounce Christ. But we must remember, men are examples, but they are not the power, they are not the enablement, they are not the motivation. But Christ is. See, he is our best example. The God-man is the best example of a proclaimer of Christ. See, Christ himself, although he was the eternal Son of God, learned obedience from what he suffered. And after he was perfected, after he matured, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey. See, Jesus never shied away from the difficulties of this life, but he also stressed the glory that awaited. And we praise God that Jesus himself never renounced, not once, who he was, even in front of the Jewish and Roman authorities. See, they spat in his face and struck him with their fists and slapped him. Secondly, from this passage, we should look for protective shepherd leaders who act like Christ. And how do they act like Christ? Voluntarily, in contrast to being forced. Verse 2 reads, "Not because you must." Some translations will say not grudgingly or not under compulsion, but willingly, as God wants you to be. Jesus says in John 10 that the hired hand, since he is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, he will leave them and run away when he sees a wolf coming, persecution, danger. And then this wolf, danger, persecution, snatches and scatters the sheep. And this happens because he is a hired hand. He doesn't care about the sheep. And during this time in church history, when Peter wrote, it seems that elders were chosen and appointed by others, exposing these nominees to hardships and dangers that might increase their reluctancy from assuming the position willingly. And we've known people who just can't say no. They don't want to hurt people's feelings. You know, they don't want to just say no. But we can't have that in our leadership. Jesus also did things voluntarily. He was never forced to shepherd us or lead us. See, all the things that elders are told to do in this passage is because Jesus himself possesses these qualities. Jesus does not ask us to do anything that he isn't already or that he wouldn't do. And see, that's our ultimate hope. When elders are unfaithful, Jesus remains faithful and will use a crooked leader to create a straight line in the lives of the sheep. He says in John 10, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down voluntarily. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take possession of it again." Christ was not forced to take on human nature. God did not twist his arm. And elders also must eagerly lead us, oversee us, in contrast to be greedy for gain. Verse 2 goes on to say, "Not greedy for money, but eager to serve." Our elders here are not given a salary, but they may be in it for other reasons. And see, for pastors, shepherding shouldn't be about the money you receive or what you will get out of it. It isn't to be debt-free, to accomplish your dreams, or to have ministry be a stepping stone to be a world-famous author. Pastors, elders, are not to get rich off of the backs of the broken. And see, again, we must look to Christ. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God, something to be clung to exploit, to grasp. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Christ didn't become human to gain something for himself, but to gain something for us. And so elders must also act humbly, in contrast to being arrogant. There was a man who was a pastor, but before that, he used to lead an orchestra, and before that, he was a drill sergeant. And we asked what was the common denominator. Well, he liked being in charge. He liked having people listen to him. He liked being the center of attention. But verse 3 says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Elders are not to use their authority sinfully to stand upon or to squash God's people. They are to lead them by their own good example. Shepherd leaders, first and foremost, are sheep. They are to know their need, their sinfulness, their need of a Savior. And that is their primary office. See, Christ emptied himself. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. And Christ says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wow. It says, to give his life for a ransom for many. That is such a wonderful God that we have. Jesus has every right to be puffed up, to lord it over us. See, Jesus is God, but Jesus chose to be a shepherd and also a sheep, a lamb who died. See, we have all heard of the spiritual, the physical, and emotional abuse that happens when elders don't act like Christ. And when they don't act like Christ, they fail us in huge and hurtful ways. But they are imperfect, and again, they're sheep just like us. We will never have them be what we want them to be. But some pastors and elders are really trying by the grace of God. And sometimes they get in their heads this thing of, I'm not living up to the standards God sets before me. See, they're trying to shepherd voluntarily. They're not trying to do it out of greed. They're trying to be an example to all of us. But because of their perceived failings, they are vulnerable to spiritual trials and persecution, distinct to their calling, jealousy. Why are those elders' gifts more esteemed than mine? Bitterness. Why does the congregation criticize everything I do? Fear. Will the congregation leave this church if I teach particular doctrines? Depression. Will this church ever grow? Grief. Why have there been so few conversions? Frustration. Why do my fellow elders appear to distrust everything I do? Doubt. Why has God caused such suffering in this life, in this church, in my family? Anxiety. Will we be able to afford Christian education or the things my family needs? Why doesn't the congregation love Jesus? Should I even be a pastor? So those things can go on in a pastor or an elder's mind. They are sheep, so why would that surprise us? But they are leaders, so we should support them and we should pray for them. But lastly, we should look for protective leaders who are under Christ. And how is being under Christ a comfort and a motivation? Well, ultimately, Christ is our great shepherd, and he shepherds us as well as the shepherds. See, all these imperatives to proclaim Christ, to act like Christ, have all been based on indicatives from the first chapter. Shepherd leaders have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. God's great mercy has given the shepherd leaders new birth into a living hope that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, they were brought into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for them. See, these shepherd leaders are being protected and guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed to them at the last time. So it is assumed that they will rejoice in this, even now for a short time, If necessary, they suffer grief and various trials so that the proven character of their faith that is more valuable than gold may result in praise, in glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus. They are receiving the gold of their faith, the salvation of their souls. See, Christ's sheep shepherds and sheep alike should be comforted that Christ is ultimately the one shepherding us. See, the first part of verse 4 reads, "And when the chief shepherd appears," the Bible has a ton of references as Jesus is our Savior. So here's just a few from John 10. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Matthew 9. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Revelation 7. "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And in our book, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it reads, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." But what's unbelievable is that Christ rewards these shepherd leaders. See, the rest of verse 4 reads, "You will receive the unfading crown of glory. The chief shepherd will provide a crown of glory to those who serve in his own pattern of selfless leadership for his flock." But this crown is figurative. This reward isn't a primary motivator as if it were literally going to be given to them on their head as a trophy received for their work. See, a shepherd leader's best works, if they are good, proceed from the fount and source of all good, who is God. The rewards of grace should point us to the one who gives us these gifts. See, our greatest reward, the shepherd leader's greatest reward, is Christ himself. The reason we have shepherd leaders isn't because they want Jesus and something else, Jesus plus. They want Christ. Shepherd leaders that are filled with Christ's love will radiate Christ and act like him. And see, herein lies the power to obey. The Spirit within, Christ's union with them, as they look back to Christ's suffering, they think of their justification. And looking forward to Jesus' return, they look forward to their glorification. And in the present, they know Christ, through his Spirit, is working in them. See, all really is taken care of. All of his grace, enabling us to live and lead with selfless confidence for him and his people. See, when elders love God most and above all, elders are most satisfied with God's purposes. They boast in sufferings that promote his glory. They delight in joys that demonstrate his care. They willingly sacrifice for the sake of magnifying his name. When elders love God above all, fulfillment of his purposes is their greatest reward. And how should we respond to this truth? No matter if shepherd leaders fail us, no matter if elders don't live up to our expectations, no, Christ is caring for us and even them as well. See, our present suffering, the shepherd leaders' present suffering, will turn out for their reward. See, Christ, in conclusion, in the midst of church persecution, has set up leaders who are shepherd leaders that proclaim Christ by their maturity, by their words, and by their hope. They act like Christ by how they shepherd us voluntarily, eagerly, and by their example. But what gives us all comfort is that Christ is our chief shepherd, who graciously rewards them with himself. He graciously rewards us with himself. So as we all face persecution in some way, know it's normal, but we will receive the glory of Christ when he is revealed. Amen. Let us pray. Father, cleanse our hearts from all of our sinfulness and make us teachable so we can glory in the fact that you are our chief shepherd and you have placed godly elders, shepherd leaders among us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.